filling in for Dr. Michael Cousineau, who couldn't be here. But I'd also like to thank our colleague Trevor Pickering, who helped with the data analysis. Let me just give you a quick background. I think all of us know who've worked in primary care or studied primary care that good quality primary care for children and good access to primary care for children is important in for a variety of reasons, including managing asthma, diabetes, and other chronic conditions. Without good primary care, we can see an exacerbation of these conditions. Children can end up in hospitals, and that's not where you want them. I don't know how familiar you are with California, but in 2001, there are an estimated about 800,000 children who were uninsured. 350,000 of these children were uninsured but ineligible for programs like Medicaid and SCHIP. In California, we call them Medi-Cal and Healthy Families. in response, between 2001 and 2005, a bunch of local counties, 22 local California counties, developed these programs known as Healthy Kids programs that are insurance products that are locally funded through community resources, philanthropies, and that are designed specifically to provide health insurance coverage to these children who are otherwise ineligible for Medicaid or SCHIP. So I may accidentally refer to these as children's health initiatives, but the product that they offer is Healthy Kids. Children's Health Initiatives is the name for the coalition that that offers these Healthy Kids programs. As part of this, these children's health initiatives also have tried to substantially increase enrollments in Medicaid and SCHIP. So they screen children first for Medicaid and SCHIP, then for Healthy Kids. This is what the Healthy Kids programs look like. By the end of 2005, there were 22 in operation. There are 28 now. At the time, they accounted for about the counties accounted for about 68% of all the uninsured children in California. So this tells you that they're hitting the right locations, but they haven't yet reached all uninsured children. Here's the research question: Have Healthy Kids programs helped to reduce the rates of preventable hospitalizations among children? This is also known as ambulatory care sensitive conditions, or ACSC, but I'll probably use them interchangeably, preventable or ACSC hospitalizations. Our data source is from the Office of State Health Planning and Development, OSHPD. We have data on all hospitalizations in the state from children for children 0 to 18 years between 1999 and 2005. And this is the only tricky part of my presentation, is that you have to understand the data are available to us only as quarterly counts. So we have data every 3 months at the county level by age group, gender, payer source, but it's available as a quarterly count of the number of hospitalizations that children have counted for. The independent measure is the county quarters in which there was a Healthy Kids program that had been in operation for at least 6 months. We give them a 6-month warm-up period because it takes time to enroll the kids and start to see their primary care providers. But we limit the analysis just to those 9 counties in which a Healthy Kids program eventually developed. So what the analysis is going to look like is mostly a pre-post analysis. The definition of preventable hospitalization in this case was developed by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality through a large validation process. It's based on ICD-9 code, I believe, and these are the conditions that we counted included asthma, bacterial pneumonia, dehydration, and you can read the rest on the list. The dependent measure is the number of preventable hospitalizations per 10,000 children. So again, this is a pre-post analysis, so we're comparing county quarters with no Healthy Kids program versus county quarters with a Healthy Kids program that had been operational for 6 months or more. So our sample size is 432 county quarters. You may wonder, well, you don't have a comparison group, you don't have a control group, right? That's the sort of limitation of a pre-post analysis. To deal with this, we stratified the analyses into high and low income children. Because these programs, these Healthy Kids programs, are designed for low-income kids, we should see no impact on high-income kids, and we should see an impact on low-income kids. And then we used Poisson regression to account for non-normality. The results weren't normally distributed. So there's 5.4 million total hospitalizations among children 0 to 18 years between 1999 and 2005. 6.2% of those were preventable by HRQ's definition. That's 330,000 preventable hospitalizations. The breakdown is in the pie chart of those preventable hospitalizations. You can see asthma, gastroenteritis and dehydration, and bacterial pneumonia account for a large proportion of those. And we just wanted to show you a graph of what was happening in the state with hospitalizations for low-income and high-income kids. This doesn't take into account any of the Healthy Kids programs, just a big picture of what's happening. The blue line on top is the low-income children. Over time, between 2000, actually it should start at 1999, I think we did that wrong. Between 2000 and 2005, the rate went up just a little bit. There's a couple of peaks, but it's generally going up. And for high-income kids, it's going down. Here's the crux of the study. HK implementation stands for Healthy Kids Implementation. What we're presenting are rate ratios. What you want to see is a statistically significant rate ratio less than 1 for low-income kids and a non-statistically significant rate ratio among the high-income kids if we are to assume that there is an effect of a Healthy Kids program on preventable hospitalizations. And we want to see this once you control for the general effects of time. So that just the natural trend that's occurring that I showed you in the trend graph. And then we also controlled for counties because all these counties, while they offer these Healthy Kids programs, they look a little bit different. They started at different times. They operate just a little bit differently. They've got different sustainability problems. So there's all the rate ratios. The most important one to look at is the Healthy Kids implementation at the top. The rate ratio is 0.81. for the low-income children, and that was statistically significant, so that means 19% fewer kids were hospitalized for a preventable condition after implementation of a Healthy Kids program. And there was no effect, among the high-income kids. The rate ratio is 0.99, basically somewhat like an odds ratio, 1.0. And then what's also interesting is that the difference between these rate ratios, the 0.81 versus the 0.99, was statistically significant. That's the p-value on the far right, p less than 0.0334. Something else to point out here is that the effect of time is interesting. For the low-income children, you can see a statistically significant increase, 1.04. So that sort of matches what we saw on that graph, right? For the low-income kids, it was going up. And for the high-income kids, it was going down. So the Healthy Kids implementation rate ratio is the interesting point here. After controlling for the effects of time and county, we did control for age, gender. I think that's it. So what does this tell us about what might have happened if we were to sort of translate this rate ratio into the number of hospitalizations that we think were prevented by these Healthy Kids programs? So we assume using the rate ratios and applying them to the time period in which we are studying, we estimate there are about 6,300 preventable hospitalizations that are the result of the Healthy Kids program. And then we wanted to know if you'd applied the Healthy Kids program, if the Healthy Kids program had been operational during the county quarters in which they weren't initially, if they'd all started at the same time at the very beginning of the study, we estimate that you might have been able to prevent another 12,500. Hospitalizations among kids. Let me just go over a couple limitations. We all know we call them preventable hospitalizations, but not all of them are. And there's definitely going to be some inaccuracy in the denominators to create our rates per 10,000, because these are based on census estimates. Census estimates have a little bit of guesswork involved when you're going down to the state and county level. And the estimated savings, when we assume you could expand the program to the non-Healthy Kids county quarters, it assumes that the county quarters are the same after Healthy Kids implementation as they would be before. That's a big assumption. So policy implications. These children's health initiatives, we would say, have made a significant impact on children's health by keeping them out of the hospital. And on costs, you assume the average hospitalization may be somewhere in the range of $4,000 to $6,000, and you multiply that by the number of preventable hospitalizations that you've saved, that's a significant impact. One of the tricky things, though, is that because these Healthy Kids programs are so locally funded and so dependent on philanthropy funding, almost all of them have only got 6 months to a year of sustainable funding left. So they're right on that financial brink of collapse. You know that in California, the governor is proposing to cover all kids in the state, including undocumented kids, so the kids who are covered by Healthy Kids, but it's sort of locked up in the special session with the legislature right now, and there's a lot of hurdles to overcome. They're trying to get larger health care reform through. So maintaining these children's health initiatives is a big struggle. I just wanted to recognize our funders, the California Endowment and First Five California. And just for full disclosure there, they also fund the Children's Health Initiatives. So thank you very much. I can take questions. Yes. That's an excellent question. There's an evaluation going on of each of the county, well, not all of them, three of the county Healthy Kids programs. Those are being led by the Urban Institute in Mathematica. And they have a couple of reports that are out that show utilization of primary care, dental care, and I believe they've assessed specialty care. I don't know the rates. So I would refer you to their websites for that. Absolutely agree. Thank you. Yes? Yeah, no, Healthy Kids it's not advertised as such, but it's 90% undocumented, at least. So there's... Oh, but is now. They have a program operational now. That's right. So there's two ways to be ineligible for Medi-Cal and SCHIP, and one is income. The other is to be undocumented. And so it covers like a small fraction of those kids who fall between 250% and 300% of the poverty level, but also mostly the undocumented. It's by payer source, of all things. For the discharge, there's the payer source. And so we know Medi-Cal is identified. And then they don't give us any more detail besides other public or self-pay or there's one other one. It's like it's an important one, too. I'm missing the name of it. But it reflects the uncompensated care. San Mateo is one of the earlier programs. Very possibly they may be a little bit more mature in this sense, doing a better job of getting kids into primary care. I mean, I'm just guessing. That might be something worth looking at with the Urban Institute and Mathematica reports. I'll look at that. Thank you. Is that it?
Okay. If we could give all of our presenters another round of applause.